Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of our God for our consideration today is from James chapter 4, and you'll find that printed for you on page 6 of the worship folder. Last Sunday and this Sunday, we're talking about sections from the book of James. The book of James is really an interesting book of the Bible because some people, it's their favorite book because they just love the good, practical advice that James gives us as far as living the Christian life. Because James is the one who reminds us, you know, not just to talk the talk, but to actually walk the walk. You know, last week we talked about how important it is for us to follow God's wisdom instead of the wisdom of the world. And James just keeps on reminding us of how much better our lives will be here on earth when we obey God's commandments rather than getting in all kinds of trouble by disobeying God's commandments. Just so much good practical advice. Of course, other people, they try to avoid the book of James, and actually for the same reason, because it gives so much practical advice for living a Christian life, and they simply don't want to follow that advice. They don't want to hear things they don't want to hear, so they don't go to the book of James, and they don't like to hear that faith without works is dead, because they don't want to change their sinful lifestyle. So they just simply avoid it. They don't want to feel guilty. In the section that's before us today, James again is giving us this really good practical advice when he tells us to humble ourselves before the Lord. And humility, you know, it's something that I think our society can have a problem with. You know, we always talk about pride, right? You know, we want to take pride in our accomplishments. We're proud to be Americans. We're proud of our children. We're proud of the things we do. And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with that. But if that pride in what we are and who we are and what we do gets in the way of our faith in Christ, then it really becomes a problem. And that's really what James is talking about when he says, humble yourself before the Lord. Look at what he says. He starts out by saying, submit yourselves then to God. And that's where humility and actually the Christian life really has to start. Submitting yourself to God. You know, again, in our society, people don't like to use the word submit because we don't like other people telling us what to do. But what submitting ourselves to God means is that we wholeheartedly, unconditionally, without exception, submit ourselves to the will of God. It means we get into our Bibles, we look at what God says, and we submit to that. We tell ourselves that I am going to do what God wants me to do instead of what I want to do. Completely, wholeheartedly, without exception, I submit my will to God's will. It's not an easy thing to do, is it? Especially in our society where people have so much problem submitting to God's will as it's spoken to us in the Word of God. So much of our society today just simply wants to dismiss what God says is right and wrong, and simply follow what they personally think is right and wrong. And that's why the second thing he tells us to do is, in resisting the devil is to resist the devil. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, the devil, one of his best tricks and tactics is to get us to stop submitting to God's will, to get us to stop resisting what the devil says and follow Satan's ways instead of following God's ways. And you know how the devil can get into our minds when we sin and kind of get us to say, you know, it's really not that big a deal. I mean, after all, it's 2015. It's about time people woke up and understand society. So he gets us to believe that when we sin, it's no big deal. It's just the way I am. Everybody else is doing it, and kind of lets us go our own way. And those are the things we have to resist. Resist the devil so that the devil will flee from us. How do you do that? It's hard, isn't it? It's so hard day after day after day to say, I'm going to submit myself to God's will, and I'm going to resist all those temptations of the devil that want me to believe that my sin is no big deal, especially in our society. And keep in mind some of the things we talked about last week about following the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of the world. Remember we talked about the armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 and just the shield of faith that he talked about. You know, he says, take up the shield of faith so we can resist the flaming arrows of the devil. You know, shield of faith. Now, if you're fighting in battle, you know, think of the Roman legions, and somebody's shooting arrows at you, how big a shield do you want? Do you want to have a little shield that's about this big and hope you can sit there and go and stop them all? You know, what I want is I want a shield that goes from here to here and all the way to the ground. Some of you would want a shield that instead of going to 5'6", goes to about 6'2", right? You want a big enough shield to protect you. And he said that's the shield of faith. And how do you get a bigger shield? How do you get a stronger faith? We talked about that last Sunday too. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of God. It's regular use of God's word that strengthens our faith. And then he says, take up the sword of the Spirit so we can fight back, right? And what's the sword of the Spirit? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why it's so important to be in the word, so that we can submit to the will of God, and we can resist the devil. So I guess we could each ask ourselves, so how's it going? How's it going with your submitting to God's will and resisting the devil? Do you win every battle? Neither do I. Because we're sinful human beings. That's why James tells us, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. He says what we do when we lose a battle, when we fall into sin, when we don't humble ourselves before God, when we haven't resisted the devil, is he says, well, you come near to God. You go back to God. And what he's talking about is you go to God in sincere repentance of your sins. And you go to God, and he says what you do is you change your laughter into mourning and your joy into gloom. You grieve, you mourn, and you wail over your sins, right? When we sin, we should feel terrible. When we sin, we should feel guilty. If you don't feel guilty, something's wrong, right? If you don't feel guilty, if you're not ashamed of what you've done, if you don't regret what you've done, then that means you're not submitting to God's will. So you go to God in true, sincere repentance. And notice what he says. He says, "Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." To wash our hands. What? Remember Pontius Pilate, after he had sentenced Jesus to death, he came out and he washed his hands. And he said, "I'm innocent of this man's blood." Was he? Did it work? No. Just like if your hands are dirty and you go to the sink and you wash them and then go right back and play in the dirt, what's going to happen? They're going to get all dirty again. You know, have you ever done that to a child or grandchild? You know, they're playing with something, they're outside, they're digging in the dirt, and their hands are dirty, and you say, "Come on, we're going to go inside. You got to wash your hands, and now please stay out of the dirt." And what do? They're right back to the dirt. Well, when God says, "Wash your hands," he means wash off the sin and don't go back to the dirt. Right? Wash your hands and then change. He says, "Wash your hands and purify your hearts." It's got to be inside, right? It's got to be a sincere desire to change. And he tells us, don't be double-minded. What's double-minded? It means to say one thing and do another, to think one thing and do another. Don't just go back and do the sin again. To truly repent means to change. And again, how's that going? It's happened to all of us. We commit a sin. We go to God and we repent, and we have the sincere desire to change, but what happens? Here comes the devil with all those arrows again, right? So what do we need? Bigger shield? How do you get the bigger shield? Back into the Word, right? This is the best part, though. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What does that mean? He kind of ends where he started. Humble yourself before the Lord. Submit to God's will wholeheartedly. Repent of your sins. And what's God going to do? It's going to lift you up. It's going to make you feel good again. And the only way you can feel good again is through Christ, right? Going to God in repentance and knowing and understanding that because of Jesus and that cross, all of your sins are forgiven. And getting into God's Word and let the Holy Spirit strengthen your faith so you can improve your sinful life. It's a beautiful message from James, right? It's not just there to make us feel guilty about our sins. There's just those little gospel gems that come out of James all the time. Now, submit to God. Resist the devil. Come near to God. Wash your hands. Don't be double-minded. But then that little gospel gem at the end that says, humble yourself before God, and he will lift you up. Grieve, mourn, and wail over your sins, but rejoice in the forgiveness that is there in Christ. Do you really see the good practical advice? It really comes back to being and getting in the Word, right? To making a commitment again to be in church every Sunday and to be in Bible study and to read your Bible on a daily basis so that you can know the will of God and submit to it, so that you can have that shield of faith to resist the devil. But even more important, so that you never forget the love and the forgiveness that is yours in Christ.